The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman, Amana, and Daikin brands. Today, I am joined with Paul Vishnesky, President of Higher Dimensions, and Heidi Barnett, CEO of Applicant Pro. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good
Thanks
to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the art of job ad writing, and it's such a hot topic right now. How do I find good employees? How do I bring them into my business? And so, you know, I want to talk a little bit about, give me a little bit of your background, your experience in writing ads and where you guys have started from.
Well, I'll start. I mean, I've been in this industry for quite a while. My whole focus has been on the HR side. Helping contractors attract and hire the best they can in their markets. As you know, every market is different, so you have to really be flexible and deal with that particular contractor, how they run their business, their culture, their leadership, their initiatives, their growth, all those things. And you have to be able to scale to their needs. So that's my background. I've done that for quite a while. And our product is Applicant List, and I'm partnered with Heidi. Heidi, tell them a little bit about Applicant Pro.
Yeah, so Applicant Pro, we run a hiring software. So it's basically a do-it-yourself model of software that helps you connect your needs as a company with open positions to the job seeker.
So what we've done in this market, because it is unique, if you look at the contractor's life on a day-to-day basis, it's very busy, and there's a lot of moving parts typically. Whether you're a contractor with five people or 500 people, it's a always moving organization, and recruiting is an absolute need. But the thinking, the thought process doesn't really go behind it, and we try to fill that void. And what we're trying to do really is to make sure that contractor focuses on what they do best, which is revenue generation. Not recruiting. Our core competence is recruiting. That's what we do, and that's what I've done forever. I used to be a recruiter, so I know what goes into that. What we do right now is we really try to look at the market as a whole. And as I said, every market's different, and everybody knows, and I hear it all the time, is there's, you know, I'm not getting candidates. I don't have any quality candidates. Or they don't show up for interviews, which is even worse, right? Like you think, okay, I got a good guy coming in, and he doesn't show up. So what's going on in the market? What's happening? We've kind of broken the code on that with our system and our software and our services, because we've kind of taken the contractor out of the heavy lifting part of recruiting. We said, okay, you don't do this very well. To be quite honest, they don't do it very well. They've got time absorbers every day in what they're doing, and recruiting is just another part of they don't like doing it, and it can be very difficult. So back to your original question is, I think what we do is we fill a very important void. We've allowed the contractor to do what they do. We do what we do. And the focus is, how do we get the best quality applicants out of the market? And it starts with the job. It starts with writing a job that appeals to every type of applicant. And you may want to add to that.
You know, yeah. Just to jump in here, Heidi, so you talked about software. Mm-hmm. You guys created a software company. I remember back when I was doing recruiting for an HVAC contracting business, I mean, it was writing an ad and putting it in the newspaper. And actually, I had that ad in the newspaper every single week, 52 yeah. weeks a year, and we just had the same ad sitting there, and we had a constant stream of people coming in, resumes coming in, and doing
good
those,
days.
Doing the interview process. But how has it changed from the newspaper to today? Where do employees go to even look for jobs?
So it's drastically different, and I remember those days as well, throwing a job in the newspaper and just waiting for people to come. What happened, the progression from there was that we took the ads in the newspaper and put them online. but it was just basically a digital version of the newspaper. Then what we've seen is a progression from that into more of, you know, Google gives preference to different things, right? They will block certain things. There's a lot that happened around that. What we're seeing now is job boards are following suit with a lot of those things that Google and others are doing. And so you can post your job onto major job boards like Indeed, and you should. But the way that you do it will make it whether you are able to, the, whether job seekers find you or not. So they will have not only block you or show you, but they also will harness the visibility based on certain things that you have in your ad. So it's almost like this scientific process that we've put together. And, you know, Paul talked about breaking the code, and that's really what we've done alongside of them. We're a partner of Indeed's and Monster and a lot of those other job boards. And they help us to help our clients to get the right things in the right places so that you get the maximum visibility overall.
So when we move from the newspaper to the digital world, there's all kinds of new dynamics that start to happen, right? So first of all, you have to be an option. They have to see the ad.
Yes.
But then you have things to consider like bounce rate. So
exactly.
They read the first sentence and then all of a sudden something, they bounce off of that and go look at something else because it did not appeal to what they were looking for. And then you have the issues like, do we actually create a conversion where they're actually going to the next step of maybe putting their information, uploading a resume, filling out an application, whatever it may be, that next action step that we have, how are we doing on conversion? So what are the most important aspects in effective recruiting today? When you talk about all of those things, this is a whole new world.
It's a whole new world, exactly like you're talking about. I like the components you talked about. We're both in marketing, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you're sales, but marketing also. There's those three components. That's really what marketing is. And they're almost making business owners and HR professionals become marketing experts in order to get this visibility overall. And so I think there's those three components that we can talk about. The first one is the job ad. You have to have the right job ad, and I'll talk a little bit about mm-hmm. that. Then your distribution of making sure that it gets out there in the right way. And then what are those ways to draw them in? And a lot of those come from the job ad. And so if you're going to do one thing to improve your recruiting today, it is to enhance your job ad, to take some time and to follow a proven process. We have some different pieces that we've published from the Applicant Pro side that kind of will walk you through that for free. But I'm going to give you a couple things right now out of the gate. So you need to connect with them. It's really important in a job ad to be human. No one wants to read a list of 25 bullet points. They don't. The very first thing right out of the gate, talk about your company. You know, Applicant Pro, family-friendly, whatever business is looking for, and then you put what the job is right there out of the gate. Talk about your company. Why would they want to come work for you? This isn't a don't come work for us if you do this. Don't come work for us if you do this, which we see job ads do often, right? A lot of people use it as a screening tool. What we're trying to do is this is a sourcing tool. We want to bring people in, and as many as we can get in, we'll screen them on the back end to make sure that they, you know, hit those basic qualifications. But what we really want to do are spotlight the things that make us different, the reason why we're a cool place to work, what your day in the life looks like. That's another section that we always include in our job ads. What will you be doing every day? And then pay and schedule. You'd be surprised how many people leave those things out. Those are the two number one most asked questions by job seekers. How much do I get paid? And what's my schedule? And then third to that is what will I be doing? And so if you just say, you know, an HVAC technician, but you don't lay out for them, this is what you'll actually be doing. Do you guys do on-the-job training? Talk about that. Do you have a really cool culture? Talk about that. What makes you different? What makes you unique? Put those pieces in there in a way that is enticing but honest, right, about what it is that you do. I think that we see it as a job description, and there was a time where, you know, for larger companies, legal had to approve this. It was a legally approved job description, which basically meant really boring, right? And really technical. But what it is now and what Indeed and other job boards are rewarding for is interaction. So if someone goes to your ad and clicks on it, it's like you get a little point. And then if they go to click through in order to apply, it's like you get another point. And so the more points that you get, the more visibility that they give you. And so you're seeing, you're getting more eyeballs on the job ad, and then people will go and apply, especially if it's a good ad or a good place to work. And so those are the main components, is being really honest. I think the last thing, piece that I want to make sure that everyone understands, and this is a shift that we're seeing, is that there's one thing you need to include, and there's one thing you need to make sure that you exclude from your job ads. You need to include your salary, whether it's a range or not. And I know that that's a weird thing. A lot of people don't like putting that out there. But Indeed and other job boards are actually going in and estimating for you. So we had an example. One of my employees, her son was applying for jobs and was super excited about this job. And I think he was going to be working at a place that does oil changes. He was brand new. They said they do on-the-job training. He looked at the pay and was like, this is incredible. So he goes to the interview. They love him. He loves them. They go and make a formal offer, and it's $10,000 less. Because Indeed had projected what it would be for that market, and they had not included it in the ad. And so there was this massive mismatch. They went through all the time and process, and then he didn't end up taking the job because, and they didn't want to pay him because he was brand new, right? And so what we need to make sure we're doing is including salary in our job ads. If not, it will be estimated for you. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, a lot of times we'll put in there that you must submit to a background check. Seems pretty standard, you know, if you're going to, I'd like to know up front. What's happening is it's actually illegal in some places to even include that sentence. And so if you're including it, you're going to be blocked, or you're not going to receive the visibility that you need overall. So these are those types of things that it's almost scientific around posting the job ad. We write job ads for our clients. We help them to be able to navigate that. But there are some things that you can do today. Review your job ad. Talk to your employees and say, you know, same thing. Why do you like working here? Tell me what is unique about us. When they tell you that, put that in your job ad, right? Make it human and really remember that you're trying to connect with humans. That will make a really big difference in the overall job ad.
So, Paul, it's interesting to me in our industry, you brought this up, and I think it's something that's probably in a lot of people's minds that are listening to this. We do tend to put a lot of barriers up. Like we say, you know, to your point, we're going to do drug testing. We're going to do a background check. We're going to look at your criminal background. You have to work on weekends and holidays, and we put all of this stuff out there. Now, one thing, talking about authenticity, you do want to be upfront, and you do want to tell people what they should expect. But on the flip side of it, what is your experience? You've been doing this a long time. Why do contractors tend to do this? And what has been your experience when contractors stop limiting and putting all of this criteria? Don't even bother applying if you're not going to meet these criteria.
If they do that?
Yeah.
Just
tell me, why do contractors do that? And then what has been your experience when they stop doing that?
Well, I think it's just old school. I think this is the way we've always done it. Let's just keep doing it. But it's not working, and they have to change that. And I think the market has changed where, you know, there are some legal liabilities, I guess, the way you put out a job. Heidi knows more about that than I would. But I think at this point, right now, with what the job seeker is looking for, the way things have changed, and the mindset of that job seeker, you just have to be honest about who you are, what you have, and what my experience is going to be in that organization. And by the way, I mean, I always thought, you know, look, hold on 1 second. So most people have a field service program, right? And why do they have a field service program? They have a field service program because they want that contractor to know everything about that customer before they talk to them. What's their dog's name? Do they have a nickname? When was the last time the service call was? Mm-hmm. They want to know everything they can before they go into that home, right? That makes sense. But why don't they do that with applicants? So why don't they look at the what I call success factors in those applicants as well? Now, you don't have to say you're going to test, but in our program, what we do is we integrate that into our process. So if they see a job, they like the job, it reads well to them, it appeals to them, they click on it. They go through our screen questions, and then the customer, our client has the option to either test at that point or not. Now, there is a strategy there, because if it's a technician, you don't want to deter a technician from coming into the program or coming in for an interview, but you do, if it's a CSR or someone like that, you definitely want to test the best out of the market. So why would you not test? You want to know everything about that applicant, just like you'd want to know everything about your customer. So there are ways to get around this that are completely the right thing to do. I mean, if I was hiring, I'm going to be looking at success factors, whether they're a technician, whether they're a CSR, whether they're in management. I mean, I want to know what I have to contend with if I make that hire. So, you know, our objective really is to help them write the job, present an opportunity that appeals to every type of applicant, screen them, and then give them an opportunity to look at, what are my contention rates here? Is this someone that really has no initiative or no maybe they're lacking in reliability, or their EQ is really low, emotional intelligence, where maybe they don't manage themselves well across time, or they can create conflict? I mean, those are things I would want to know if I was an owner running a small HVAC contracting company. I want the best I can. And you can't do that like you used to do it before. Put out a job description, they come in like you've been through this before. Mm-hmm. And luck of the draw, you get someone good. It's just not the same anymore. So you got to be very judicious about how you go about recruiting.
Can I add one thing? Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, yeah.
We like to look at it kind of like a fishing analogy. When you go fishing, you put your worm on a hook, you throw it in, and you pull out a fish, hopefully, right? A lot of times you get skunked. With the job ad, if done right, what you're trying to do is throw a net out, and you're casting the widest net possible. So when you are saying, hey, don't apply if you're this, and don't apply if you're this, we're looking for this very specific thing. It's kind of like one worm on a hook, and you're looking for just that one person. What we do is we cast this wide net and bring in a bunch of things. When you pull in a net, you're like, okay, this is a good one. There's an old tin can. Here's an old boot, right? You're going to get people that aren't exactly what you're looking for. The software allows for us to screen out some of those pieces, right? We ask those questions that are knockout questions. Are you legal to work in the United States? Yes or no? If not, then you're not a good fit, right? And so you can run through some of those questions that are knockout questions. Then after that, we have this assessment test that Paul was talking about that will allow for us to see a little bit deeper into who they are and match based on that. So the job ad, really the job of it is to cast this wide net to be able to bring in more people. So, you know, to help answer that question.
So you guys do have the opportunity to work with contractors all over North America.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, what are some of the, you know, top things that some of your best performing clients are using that are attracting the top talent in the industry today? What are you guys seeing right now that are those top things that that the good candidates are looking for?
Well, I can say that in one word, really. It's the culture. We deal with a lot of different companies, and sometimes on the phone I can tell the nature of the way that company's run.
Mm.
And when they tell me I can't get good quality candidates, I can put two and two together, to be quite honest. You just understand the way they run the company. So I think it's really important. What candidates are looking for is a place to call home, where they can hang their hat. And that's the culture, going back to the culture piece. I think it's highly important today in this market. There are applicants out there. There are good technicians out there. They all have they're probably working for somebody. But inevitably what happens is something somewhere is going to go awry, or they're looking for something that they don't now have. And that could be anything from, you know, a weekend party, whatever it is, something different that appeals to them that's they need in their life. So that's why we go back to recruiting is not a one-time event. It should always be happening. And what happens is you get your finger on the pulse of the market. Applicants are coming in. You've got a way to evaluate and screen. You can even assess on the way. But you're basically getting to know your market really well. I think that's one thing we can help a contractor with probably more than anything, is get a hold of your market. Understand your market. Don't just say there's no contractors out there. Find out where they're at, what they're doing, and what their experience level is, and keep that contact going. I mean, you don't have to hire now, but you do have to maintain the relationship. And the service business is about relationships. I think it's about relationships with the manager, with the owner, and with the customer, and with themselves. And so, you know, the premium of a candidate is how well they manage themselves over time, and then how well they fit into what you're doing, their experience in the culture. Are they a contributor or a contaminant? I mean, you have to decide in that interview, which are they, and am I going to take that leap of faith or not? So there's a lot to it, but we can automate a lot of that with the software.
To add to a little bit of what Paul was saying is the culture piece is really important. But if you're a bad place to work, you won't keep them anyway, right?
Yes. Right.
And we have clients that we have done really great work and we're consistently hiring for them, but they can't keep them because they really have, they have bad manager, they have, you know, bad processes, they're overworking people. Those pieces, it doesn't matter how many candidates you get in the door if they're not going to stay. So, you know, work on your job ad, but also work on who you are as a business. Can you communicate better? Can you talk to your employees? Ask them, why do you like working here? What makes you tick? What would be better? What are we doing that's making it harmful for you? Or whatever those pieces are, as you're communicating, then you can make those adjustments. You have to be open to the feedback, though. A lot of people are just like head down, we're just working. But you have to be open to the feedback. And when you get it, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, and I think that's right. I mean, because if you've got 10 people in your company or you have 100, you have 10 different personalities or 100 different personalities, and collectively, that's your culture. And how they experience that culture is going to be determined on how well they feel about it, right? So I think that's really, really important is you have to understand whether you're a small company or you're a large company, relationships are absolute key to make that company run and be consistent over time. And avoid getting into the trips and traps of hiring and turnover, morale issues, those things. So I think that's the next chapter. And what we're thinking is, you know, we got to look at the culture piece of this, really.
So I guess just final thought, what would be your advice for helping a company distinguish themselves from another company in their marketplace? It is a very competitive marketplace right now. How does a company really stand out from the rest of their competitors in their marketplace?
Yeah, I think the key is your employees. Talk to them. Ask them why they love working here. What is it that they, why are they there? Why are they staying so long? What are those pieces that make a big difference? I think your leadership also. Talk about your leaders. You know, are you fun loving? Is it, you know, do we joke around a lot? Whatever that those pieces are, you're going to draw more people in that are like that, right? So if it's leadership, look at that. That can be a differentiator. The way that you run your schedules could be differentiated. How you work with your clients. You know, there's a lot of different ways that you can differentiate because a lot of times it is very competitive. So making sure that we're doing our part to stand out, talk to your employees, see what they say.
Yeah, I talked to one contractor a while back, small team, maybe 15 people in the organization. It was getting near Christmas and they all came in for, you know, the last day of work before Christmas. But it was like, guys, we're not working the next week. Take the week off, spend time with your family. Don't worry about it. And so that really sent a loud message in terms of the commitment of the owner, and then but he also created a lot of loyalty with his workers. They care about me, they care about my family, they care about how I feel about what I'm doing. So that's a big thing. So I can't overemphasize that is people relationships is big, especially small companies.
I'm curious, just to follow up on that, are there any table stakes, so to speak? I mean, I hear a lot of things when you talk about things such as retirement plans, health benefits, personal time off. Are there any table stakes that companies should be looking at? Or is that really just, again, part of that company culture and who they are? Is there anything people should be considering saying, if I'm not offering this, then I'm not going to be as desirable? Or
The only thing that it's so different because we work with companies across the nation. Look at the people within your realm of influence. So if you are in, one town, look at the towns around you with the other competitors and see what that standard is. And don't look just at your competitors. Look at other companies. For example, we run a support department, and they make a certain wage and we have certain hours, but the McDonald's down the street that they drive by every day has a big old sign, $25 an hour, right? Sitting out front. And so they pass that every single day. I heard that from an employee. I said, okay, let's look at what we have to offer them. Are they making at least $25 an hour? If not, what are we giving them in replacement of that? You can work from home. You have unlimited PTO. You start running some of these pieces. So, you can look and say, there's three of us in town and all of these guys are offering 10 days of PTO. You should be offering at minimum that, right? But also look around and see what it is that is, is the McDonald's offering something different? So as far as a standard, we're not really seeing one. Okay. It really has to do with your area. But be aware of what that looks like around you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. This has been so much fun. It's been great. Is there any final thoughts that you have for our viewers?
I would just say there are things you can do without spending any money to make a huge difference in how you attract candidates. So just go dig in, be unique, be human, be authentic to who you are. That will make more of a difference than anything.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Thank you so
much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.